السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we send peace and blessings on His noble messenger, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again humbly to open our hearts to His remembrance, to make sure that our hearts are prepared to receive the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may He imprint them on our hearts permanently with the reality of His kalam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who listen to the words of admonition and follow the best of them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the hearing channels of our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us truth as the truth and to help us to follow it, and to show us falsehood as falsehood and help us to stay away from it. Ameen. So after saying this, this is all leading up to the first blowing of the trumpet. When that trumpet is blown, and I'm just saying this, don't take it like that, and it's just sur, all of this system will end. Now comes the next six conditional clauses, which show us that the day of judgment has been established. And that will happen after Israfil will be brought back to life and ordered to blow it a second time, and that will bring everything back to life. Now, on these wild beasts being gathered, there are two things. One, when the system is being destroyed, out of fear, they will all gather, huddle together. But Allah will also resurrect all animals for the day of judgment, and they will have their judgment, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that the hornless, you know, goat will ask for restitution from the horned goat because of it, you know, being hit, and Allah will settle their accounts and then turn them all into dust. There's nothing beyond that. Okay, so that's going to happen. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking us to the day of judgment as having been established. وَإِذَنْ نُفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. Nufus, nafs, souls. When the souls زُوِّجَتْ. زَوْج means paired. When the souls are paired. Now, for our youngsters, you know, we exist because we have a soul and a body. They have been paired together, right? Which makes us alive. What is the most catastrophic thing that can happen to a human being? He dies. What is death? It is the uncoupling or unpairing of the soul from the body. Okay? So, everyone has been separated. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the souls and the bodies, because the bodies will be resurrected, the souls have already been alive in barzakh, in the next realm, they will be paired back together. Now, let me ask you, is that a catastrophic event? Putting the soul and body together. We think the separation is a catastrophe. Now imagine the souls and bodies of those who denied Allah, denied the day of resurrection, and disobeyed consciously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their souls and bodies are brought back and suddenly they experience what's going on. That's the ultimate catastrophe. Because they will say, I wish I was dust. I wish I was never resurrected. Because now I know the reality. I know what is going to happen, what is ahead of me. So when we read this, وَإِذَنْ نُفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ, that when the souls are paired, don't take it lightly. Because once they are paired, means now I am presented to Rabbul Alameen with my new body, which will not end in my with the soul for accounting. Means accounting is starting. What is also meant by this is that the person will be paired with his or her deeds. Zubwijat, brought together as a pair. Means here's you are and here are all your deeds. There's another meaning of Zubwijat, which is people of like with like. Because elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there will be groupings of people. You know, the people of the right, people of the left, the forefront, the elite. And the Prophet ﷺ taught us, Al-Maratu ma'a min ahab. A person will be with the one who they loved. A person will be with who they were. So the disobedient, disbelievers gathered together, believers gathered together, the sinful gathered together, the righteous gathered together, because Allah, now the sorting has started. Izan nufusu zuwijat. So this is now getting serious. Now we are there. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. مَوْءُودَة, some ada means something that's a burden. One who has been burdened, given a lot of weight on top of it. مَوْءُودَة is a specific term used for female children who were buried, infanticide, in a horrible way that existed in some Arab tribes at that time, and some people did it, which is out of fear of disgrace, or fear of poverty, or fear of liability, they would take their young daughters, sometimes infants, and kill them by burying them while they were still alive. Imagine. And some of them used to even wait till the daughter had become 6 years old. There are narrations that at 6 years old, the father would tell the mother, dress her up in the best clothes and tell her that I'm going to take her to a family where she's ultimately going to be wedded. He has already dug a hole on the way. He brings her to the edge of it and he says, oh, look in here. As she's standing there, he pushes her in. And while she is still alive, they would throw sand on them. There are narrations of one person who subsequently accepted Islam. He had buried several daughters and then he had another daughter. So his heart couldn't do it. But the mother said, you know, this is our custom. So he took her there, he took the little baby, and he said, I put her in the hole, and as I put her there, you know how babies are, with a tiny little hand, she grabbed my finger. And I kept putting sand on her. I didn't have the heart to pull my finger away from her hand, till finally, the grip loosened and I pulled my hand away. What a horrible, horrible practice. This used to go on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking that female child that was buried, now, su'ilat, she will be asked. What? بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Think of it this way. What was your crime for which you were killed? Obviously, what does that mean? This is serious for the ones who did it. The child is innocent. Because murder, or life can only be taken for a murder. In other words, this little child, who did you kill that somebody had to kill you? So she will be asked. So if she is going to be asked, what is going to be the questioning of the one who perpetrated this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this habit elsewhere in the Quran, that when they are given the news of a female child being born, a girl being born, their faces darken and they don't meet anybody. Now they're thinking, what should we do? Should I kill her or should I bring her up in disgrace? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what kind of thinking is this? And this also can be taken as the questioning of everyone who was murdered unjustly, whose life was taken. It's not just those. Of course, it's specific because she is the most innocent who never deserved something, but anyone else, because the biggest crime that can be committed against humanity is murder. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, among those rights, will bring that of life as the first. So we have to be very careful with something like that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. Suhuf from sahifa, which is your scrolls, your records. Nushirat, opened and displayed. That your record of your life will be brought. Everyone's records. How that will be is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, human beings can record your whole life in a little drive like this. Okay. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says will be laid open, displayed. Your book of deeds, of every thought, every choice you made, every word you said, every action, every decision, every aspiration, every niyyah intent, every heartbeat by heartbeat, every single thing will be laid open and published for you and for everyone else to see. It will either be delivered, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in their right hands, which is a bashara, a glad tidings of success, or in their left hands, or behind their backs. Both of those are bad. Left hand means destruction. And when the angels bring it to your left hand, what are you going to do? I don't want it in my left hand. I put my hand behind me. Well, they'll throw it in your hand and behind your back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will be delivered to their owners. Every guarded secret is going to be exposed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Kahf, وَوُدِيَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ, that the books will be laid open and every criminal will see. وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. You'll say, oh my God, what kind of a record is this? What kind? مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. What kind of a book is this? لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. There is not the littlest of thing, not the biggest of thing, except every single thing is recorded in this book. وَوَجِدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا. And they will find what they did, حَاضِرًا, right in front of them. وَلَا يَذْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And Allah will not show any injustice to anyone. How can you deny? How can you forget? Because this will take place. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ. The sama, the blue dome that we have. Kushitat means it will be stripped away, like you skin an animal. What does that mean? Allah knows. In other words, the sky will be changed, what it hides, of realities we don't know, just like all the reality of our deeds will be there. Once that canopy is removed, whichever way it is done, everything will be clear. Elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the heavens will be rolled up biyameen. Biyameen means the right hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالسَّمَوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ بِيَمِينِ. Almost like folding, and I'm using this, don't take it literally like that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, إِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعِّرَتْ. Now all of this is going on. Jahim is the fiercest portion of Jahannam, of hellfire. سُعِّرَتْ will be set ablaze. In other words, now the fuel has come. Now you light the fire. وَإِذَا الْجَنَّةُ أُزْلِفَتْ. Zulfa means to come close, and the Jannah, the paradise, will also be brought near to those who deserve to go there. So the people of the right will see Jannah being brought here. The people of the left will see the flames of the fire just coming out and the fire being brought. And in fact, there is a very graphic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that on the Day of Judgment, the fire is going to be out of control because it wants to seize all the disbelievers and disobedient, because the fire sees them as worthy of being burnt for what they did with Allah's laws. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because the judgment has not taken place, 70,000 angels will be holding it back. Hold back the Jannah. This is also decreed by Allah. Jahannam. Okay, because you can't take them, because judgment hasn't taken place. It has to be justice. You know this is your fuel, because Allah says that the fuel of Jahannam is وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Human beings and stones will be the actual fuel. Okay, that's the temperature of the fire, that rocks will become fuel. Today we use rocks to put out fire, but that's how it's going to be. And the Jannah will be brought. So these are 12 conditions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. 12 conditions. These are things that's going to happen. 6 before, 6 on the Day of Judgment. So now he brings us to the Jawabu Shart. What is the main point? Amilat nafsum ma ahdarat. That every soul will now see in their presence their deeds. Ahdarat means to be present with you. All the deeds will be present with you. They are brought. The value of every action, the value of every deed, of every word will be there. We will see everything that we have put forward. The Prophet ﷺ was asked once, when is the Day of Judgment? And we frequently conjecture about it. Only Allah knows. Then we say, what are the signs? What are the major signs? We memorize all of that. The point is not that. And the Prophet ﷺ made this to this man who came, Ya Rasulullah, when is the Day of Judgment? He didn't say, Allah knows. He said, what have you prepared for it? That's the bottom line. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَمِلَتْ نَفْسُمْ مَا أَحْتَرَتْ. All your actions will be there with you, brought to you. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be eliminated or subtracted. Nothing can be edited. It is what it is. All of those additions you want to do, this is the time. All that you want to eliminate with tawbah, this is the time. All that you want to edit, this is the time. Over there, nothing is going to happen. So in this dramatic way, in the first 14 ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us this dramatic reality of the Day of Judgment to shake us from our slumber and our heedlessness and being caught up in the dunya because of everything we see around, and we forget. And all it takes, this is the Day of Judgment. We don't have to live till the Day of Judgment. Most of us will just die suddenly. Look what happened. Rich and famous and all of this. One second. Everything's gone. Can't reach anything. It's not your bank account. It's not your business. It's not your money. It's not your family. Nothing. Can't access anything. It's like somebody pulled out, the computer crashed, and all your passwords and everything access is gone forever. You may have $1 billion in the bank. You cannot access it, because you have no way of entering it. This is permanent. Everything is left. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that He is real, The judgment is real. His promises are real. The angels are real. The day of judgment is real. That this is the reality. And you have to live in this reality, what we call ahkamul iman. That we have to know there is Allah constantly in our lives. We have to know there is a day of judgment. We know the angels are recording. We have the books. We have to live in that reality. And how should we live in that reality? By being aware of the laws of the Creator, what He wants us to live, as we said before, as law-abiding citizens of Allah on His earth. How do we do that? That is the arkan of Islam, which is the salah and sawm and hajj and zakat and good character and being generous and all of those things that we talk about. Okay? This is what Islam is, unconditional surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leading our lives as true ibad, the slaves of Allah. Slaves have no choice. They have no time limits. They don't have any job descriptions. They do whatever the master says. That is why we are called ibad, abd, not servants and khadim. Okay. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now tells us, you want to lead the life properly? Now look at the next part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes qasam, oath. And as we've mentioned before, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath, He usually takes an oath on something He has created. And as human beings, we cannot swear by the skies and the oceans. We swear only by Allah. But He takes an oath. And does Allah need to take an oath? You usually take an oath when somebody doesn't believe you. Allah does not need to take any oath. Okay. Yet He does to show us the importance of what is coming after. So after every qasam, after every oath, there is a jawab of qasam, which is, what was it all about? The important thing. Whenever you hear this sort of thing, you know, wadduha wal-layli, you know, this sort of things, that there is something important coming after this. So in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now starts by taking qasam of His creation, oath on His creation, in an interesting way. He says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ. Then, la means no. أُقْسِمُ. If you say literally, this means, I'm not taking an oath. Yet, this is actually an emphasis, overemphasis of the qasam. In other words, you could take it as, I don't need to swear. Because it's so obvious. Yet he takes the oath. Bil khunnas. Khunnas means something that withdraws and hides. And the majority of the Mufassirun have said that this clearly means the stars. Because they hide and disappear in the day. And then they show up again with the coming of the day. Okay, the stars and planets you don't see. Do they exist in the daytime? Yes, they do. But they disappear, they hide. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I swear by the stars and the planet that hide in the day and then come out at night. Al-jawaril kunnas, that move very quickly. Now to us they look like they are there, but they're moving. Now you see the moon here, a few hours later you see the moon here. What distance has been traveled? We have no idea. Mars, Venus was here in the morning. You go, it's set. Okay, stars set. Moon sets. Al-jawaril kunnas, something that withdraws into where it should be. Okay, it moves quickly and it goes into where it should be and then it comes back. Allah is swearing by these, giving us a hint of what is going on in the universe. Okay. There is another interesting thing is, the word kanasa, kunnas, kanas means to sweep, to clean debris. There is another meaning of al-kunnas, which could be, with our today's scientific knowledge, is that there is a super vacuum cleaner in the universe. That's what black holes are. Anything that comes near gets sucked up to disappear forever. Clears the debris of the skies. That's another way of looking at it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by the stars. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسْ. And he swears by the night. عَسْعَسْ means something that comes and withdraws. So some translations you will read with the night as it comes. And some translations you will need read as night as it's leaving. And both are true. It's not because the word as, as, think of it this way, that comes and goes. It departs. That Allah is talking about, we say, oh, night's here. Do you know what it takes to bring a night? Do you know what it takes in the universe, what things are going on, processes, phenomena, for the night to pass? Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if he were to make night permanent, who could bring day? Or if he were to make day permanent, who could bring night? Yet he has put the cycle there. Perfect, perfect, perfect. You know? The sun will set at 5:03 tomorrow. Night will come. The sun will rise at 7:02. Day will come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by this phenomenon of the night and everything that it takes, how the earth is rotating, what the moon's gravity is doing, what the sun is doing, that night comes and it goes. Night comes and it goes. You know, when we're traveling in the airplanes, now you see the globe and it shows you dark here, light here. It's turning, that's, you know. You should wonder about this. Subhanallah, we just put it on a little screen to show you where the day is, where it is. But look, it doesn't happen in slices. It's gradual everywhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't switch on the light suddenly. You know, imagine dark and suddenly switched on a light. It would be a big shock. He brings it in. Then he says, وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسْ. Now he talked about the night. And now he's saying the morning. تَنَفَّسْ breathes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used a metaphorical term. The breath of the dawn. That's the best time of the day. Light starting to break. Things are quiet. Oceans are like glass at that time, most of the time. Lakes are like glass. Peaceful, the most peaceful time for those who get up early and go out somewhere. It's the best time. And then you see the light breaking and slowly spreading all over. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's like tanafas. The dawn is taking a breath. So after taking these oaths on these magnificent phenomena that we take for granted, the night it's coming and going, the morning, and everything else that we have talked about, the stars, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us through these phenomena, through these complex plans and precise execution of the laws of Allah, don't forget the one who made all these laws. Calling us to the realization of the lordship of Allah over all of this. The rububiyah, he is the Rabb of the night, he is the Rabb of the stars, he is the Rabb of the dawn, he is the one. Now comes after these oaths, the jawab of qasam, that Allah says, I swear by the night, I swear by the planets, I swear by the moon. What is he swearing? إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. Indeed, this revelation are the words of a messenger, Kareem, honored, special, dignified. This refers to Jibreel alayhi salam. That this word has been brought to you by Jibreel. Who is he? ذِي قُوَّةٍ. ذِي قُوَّةٍ. He is powerful. How powerful? There's narration that he destroyed the people of Lot with the tip of one of his wings. And as we are told, he has 600 wings. Dhi quwwatin. Who is saying that Jibreel alayhi salam is powerful? Allah. Then he goes, inda dhil arshi makin. With the one who is the owner of the arsh. Of the throne of, I mean, with Allah he is powerful. Means Allah has given him this power. Allah is certifying he is powerful. Makin means firmly established near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How honorable is he? Muta'in thamma amin. Muta' means he is obeyed in the heavens. Allah didn't send any angel. He sent the most honored of angels, the archangel, Jibril alayhi salam, the angel who is closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most honored. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, he is obeyed in the heavens. Every angel obeys him. Thumma Amin. And there he is, and also he is Amin, trustworthy. If Allah has given him the revelation, it will be delivered as it is supposed to be, in the time frame it is supposed to be. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that I have sent the best of my creation in the heavens with this message. وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ. And your sahib, your companion, is not majnoon. He is not possessed. He is not a madman. So after talking about Jibreel alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the people of Mecca, sahibukum, your companion, your friend. Why is he saying sahibukum? Because he has lived with you for 40 years. And you know him inside out. You know his lineage. You know his character. You are the one who call him Amin. You are the one who call him As-Sadiq, the truthful. You gave him all of those titles. Therefore, you know him. That companion of yours is not a madman. Why is he saying that? Because they were saying he's Majnoon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming to the defense of his messenger and saying, he is not Majnoon. وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ. And he indeed saw him clearly on the horizon. Means Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly saw Jibreel alayhi salam in his full angelic form. Sometimes Jibreel alayhi salam came and the Sahaba companion saw him in the form of a man, a stranger. They didn't know who he was. But this, he saw him in his angelic form. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was scared. He said if his feet were on the horizon, his head was in the heavens, and his wingspan covered from the east to the west. In other words, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam could see nothing except Jibreel alayhi salam. Allah is saying, this was no hallucination. This was no delusion. He saw him clearly on the horizon. وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينَ. And huwa here means both Jibreel alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. And he is not who withholds the ghaib, what is coming about the hereafter and the revelation which is coming from the ghaib, that neither Jibreel alayhi salam nor Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam would withhold anything. They would deliver everything that was revealed to them. They would not shortchange people. They would not conceal things. And there is proof of that, because some places in the Quran, there are, if you will, occasions where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said things to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as if he was displeased with some of his actions, such as what happened at Badr with the prisoners, such as hesitating to marry his cousin who had been married to, and many other places, such as turning his face away from this blind poor man trying to give dawah to the rich. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, you turn away from a blind poor man because you think they are more important. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I won't say to task, but if he wanted to hide something, he would have hidden those. Allah is saying, no, neither the one in the heavens, my messenger, nor the one on the earth withhold or conceal anything. In other words, have no doubt about the completion of this Quran and about its source. And sometimes Muslims themselves have problems with that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And this is not the words of Satan. Satanic verses, if some of you remember that. Satanic verses. So they said, oh, it must a jinn, a shaitan, must have taught him this. Now, does that make any sense? Would shaitan be calling people to the tawheed of Allah? Would shaitan be calling people to the worship of Allah? Would shaitan be calling people to have a good character, to be truthful? Where does it make sense? Why would shaitan come up with words like the Quran? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, well, so everything that they alleged for the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is denying. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Then where are you going? Means where are you going with this line of thinking? How far is your judgment astray that things are so obvious? Where are you going? Where do you think you're going to go with this? And if you truly believe this, where are you going to go from the grasp of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In huwa illa dhikrul lil alameen. In huwa. This is indeed nothing but a reminder for the worlds. Dhikrul lil alameen. What is the reminder? It is a reminder for mankind. It is a reminder for jinn kind and for any other kind that we do not know. Of the Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn about our Lord. It is a reminder of His attributes, His power. It is a reminder of your existence and my existence, why we exist. It's a reminder of the purpose of our life. It's a reminder of the Day of Judgment. It's a reminder of the life to come. All of that, it's a reminder of how to lead our lives so that we may prepare for that unseen world that lies ahead of us, so that we may succeed in the dunya and akhirah. For who? لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ. This is a reminder for the one who decides to take the path, who makes the choice to take the path, يَسْتَقِيمُ, the straight path, the path that Allah has told us, path of His pleasure, the path that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, this book is the reminder for those who want to take the path to Allah, who want to be successful. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And you will not make that choice, you will not take that path, except if رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ wishes, chooses that for you. To tell us that ultimately everything is under the operative will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That your choice is given by the will of Allah. Your ability to choose, Allah has willed that you have that choice. That you have a free will, a limited free will to do or not to do. Allah has willed that for you. So you are not independent. Allah has given you. So you will not choose except by what Allah has willed for you. That this is the ultimate, the arada kauniya or operative will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has given you the choice. So make the right choices. What this does, it refutes the denial that we have a choice. It refutes the denial that we have a free will. It also refutes the denial that Allah, that we are independent of Allah's will. We are always under Allah's will. As we are taught, ما شاء الله كان. Whatever Allah wants will happen. وَمَا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ. It's not coming to me. It means that what Allah wills will happen and what He does not will never happen. Okay. So Allah has willed us to obey Him. وَلَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَلَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. What Allah wants will happen. What He does not want will never happen. So Allah has willed for us. Allah has told us, this is my will for you. His will for us is the Sharia, that I want you to follow the laws, which is the Quran, which is the Sunnah, so that you may be successful in the dunya. Allah does not need any of us. Allah does not need us to obey Him. It is for us. So in this powerful surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about things that are going to happen and gives us glimpses of that in our lives, then He tells us, prepare, prepare. Don't be heedless. Because we lose. I mean, we are sitting in this mahfil, in this gathering, and we are focused, most of us, we are here. And it may be, to me, it's very real. But when we go out, after 5 minutes, the effect is not going to be the same. Allah wants us to always be mindful and prepare. And prepare that one day everything will be there. What do I want to take with me? Like, what have you prepared for the Day of Judgment? Jazakallah khair. We can take some questions. We will have the English reading once first, then we'll take the question. You'll read the whole thing so that you can put it together what we went through.
When the sun enfolds and when the stars collapse and when the mountains are moved away and when the camels 10 months pregnant are deserted and when the wild beasts are assembled together and when the seas are boiled over and when the souls are recoupled with their bodies and when the female child buried alive is asked for what sin she was killed and when the records of all human deeds are disclosed and when the sky is stripped away and when hellfire flares up fiercely, and when the gardens of paradise is drawn near, it is then that each soul shall know the consequence of all that it has brought forth. Most surely, no indeed, but I swear by the stars receding, running, fading, and by the night as it approaches, and by the morning as it breathes. This Quran is indeed the very word of God, conveyed by way of a noble messenger angel, possessing power and well established in the presence of the Lord of the throne. Obeyed and trustworthy there, thus, O people, your companion Muhammad is certainly not possessed, for very truly he saw him, the very angel of revelation, in the clear horizon, and never would he conceal a revelation received from the realm of the unseen, for this Quran is not the word of a Satan accursed. Where then, O humanity, are you going? Indeed, this Quran is but a revealed reminder sent in admonition to all the people of the world, for whomever of you so wills to be guided upon a straight way, and you shall not so will except that God wills, Lord of all the worlds.
Jazakallah khair. You can just shut this off. Inshallah, we will take the